This podcast is offered by Jikoji Zen Center on the web at jikoji.org. Our programs are made possible by donations from people like you.
So this weekend here we have a workshop, a mindfulness and somatic movement workshop. And I'm going to try to come at that from one direction, and Amanda will take us right into it. So the theme, my theme, I've been here for a month, I'm here from Illinois, and my theme has been intimate. And so what gets in the way of us being intimate? What gets in the way of intimacy? And, you know, my sense is this practice is all about intimate. Intimate with what? So I started out with the Buddha. The Buddha said, you know, that he saw how this house was built. He took it down and he wasn't going to build it again. So he got really intimate with the house, and the house was the self, the sense of self that we create, that we erect. So he had to get really intimate with that. And in my talks here, I've shared that he, you know, he put five pieces, main pieces to this structure: form, feelings, perceptions, impulses, and consciousness. From that is in that human dynamic of those five things comes that sense of self. And then, you know, we live in today's world, and what neuroscience is sharing with us. So, you know, the most succinct thing around this I found is from Reggie Ray, a Tibetan teacher, Tibetan Buddhist teacher, in his book, Awakening Body, I think it is. Our left brain is typically described as housing our conscious self or our ego mind. It is often said to be characterized by the three L's. It is linear, logical, and linguistic. It is the seat of discursive thought. As such, it is more or less a disembodied, autonomous, closed system, cycling and recycling already existing information that exists in its database in the form of memories, ideations, labeling, judgments, and conceptual abstractions of all sorts. It houses the function of language, both spoken and written. As the seat of our ego consciousness, it carries out executive, managerial, and coping functions. Not surprisingly, the left brain is neurologically the most far removed from our body and its direct perceptual experience, a fact that can be seen both experientially and anatomically. The left brain is not an originator or a source. It is a processor. It cannot feel, sense, or experience anything directly. And it is connected to the right brain only by a few neurological pathways. Our right brain, by contrast, is our physical, emotional self. It is deeply grounded in our body and is all about direct, unmediated, and non-conceptual experience. It beholds things within a field of infinite silence and space, without any judgment or evaluation, without any discursive processing whatsoever. It receives experience of this moment in its totality without any boundaries or filtering. It is like a mirror that simply reflects. The neuroscientist and stroke survivor Jill Bolte Taylor explains that the right brain takes things as they are and acknowledges what is in the present. Everything is there as in a collage, and the interconnections of everything are seen. Jill Bolte Taylor, she suffered a stroke in the left brain, aneurysm in the left brain, and it Over a period of hours, it completely shut down the left brain. So she became totally right brain. And she experienced a sense of oneness. There was no Jill Bolte Taylor there. She couldn't tell where she stopped and the rest of existence began. She just experienced stuff in complete, complete cosmic energy. But she couldn't function. She couldn't function. She didn't understand language. She couldn't read. And so, in her book, The Whole Brain Living, and there's my copy of it up in the community building. So I think it'll still be around if it hasn't walked up there if you want to look at it during lunch. But she said, what happened? There was no fear, she said, no fear from, that arises from our left brain, our anxious brain. There was none of that. But she also lacked the rich emotional dynamics of her life and what that does for us. So, when we talk about, dismantling the house, it's not about getting rid of something completely, because it's, the selfing dynamic is wired into us. And so it then becomes the dance, the dance. And, but the, how do we dance and come to terms with this left brain dynamic? So it's not so front and center in our life. It can open us, we open up more and more to that right brain dynamic. So I'm going to share a few things that the Buddha said, and then we'll go into something else. So here the Buddha is going to be talking about the way our brain works, the left brain works. He says, by and large, Kachana, the world relies on the duality of it is and it is not. But one who sees the arising of the world as it happens with complete understanding has no sense of it is not. And one who sees the ceasing of the world as it happens has no sense of it is not. So just invite you to sort of see what the mind does with that. The impulse to it is and it is not. The dualistic tendency of our mind that's in us, that dualistic tendency. And this in the midst of causes and conditions. He taught dependent origination. He taught that this exists, this arising, that arises, this not existing, that no longer exists, this ceasing, that ceases. That's the dynamics of life. It's impermanence. It's emptiness. But when we say emptiness, it's really full. It's the flux of life, the arising and falling away. And we're included in that. And so he saw our suffering in that, coming back to those five aggregates, how the system responds to this. It is, the basic response, it is and it is not. But then he saw into the conditioned patterns of our response, how it's wired into us, starting from when we're in the womb, brain and the autonomic nervous system develop. So it's all these conditioned patterns. Then he saw all that clearly, the house, how it was built, right? And then he realized his awakening, this is what he realized. And he said, this is how you should train, Bahia. In what is seen, let there be just the seen. In what is heard, let there be just the heard. In what is sensed, let there be just the sensed. In what is cognized, let there be just the cognized. Then, Bahia, you will not be in that. When you are not in that, there is no you there. When there is no you there, then you are neither here nor there nor in between. This, just this, is the end of suffering. But we come back to that conditional pattern, Alice. And generally what happens is that we assess in our practice. I think we really tend to be really left-brained in our practice because the focus is on the thinking. What am I thinking? How do I get rid of my thoughts? How do I deal with my thinking? But the conditioning is much deeper than that, what we appreciate now. And I think it was appreciated back when too, because Dogen talked about the dropping of body and mind. The dropping of body and mind. And so Amanda and I, we have this mission, right? To bring us back into our body. Because it's Bessel van der Kolk says the body keeps the score. It does from the moment we're conceived, and actually from way back then, because all this stuff is epigenetic, it spans generations. And the body, when we stay, the left brain tells us one thing and it ignores a lot. It's a cycler, or a reprocessor, a recycler and a reprocessor. It takes in little new. And what it does take in new, it thinks it's taking in new, has to fit according to its stories that it already knows. It's pretty resistant. So we turn to the body. We turn to the body and see what the body tells us. So if you come here and you heard my instruction to meditation, you hear, okay, the being is going to think. The being is going to experience emotions. We can get wrapped up in our thinking about it, but it's going to be perpetuating a lot of left brain stuff. So what does this feel like? Turning into it, what does this feel like? Getting really intimate with ourselves. Turning into, listen, experience what the body has to tell us. Tell us, it'll share its score, where it is right now. It'll do that. It's sometimes not pleasant, but it will. And it's freeing. It is freeing.
Hi, everyone. Yeah, we just had a really lovely weekend, an intimate weekend, exploring our bodies and our minds. I've come to love this practice as a way to really just know what's happening here more deeply, what's happening in this body on any given moment. And it changes all the time. So we played a lot on the floor. There's too many bodies here for us all to fit. We can fit 14 bodies in this room on the floor. So we'll be doing a sitting or standing practice. I invite you all to close your eyes and sense into your inner experience, your inner landscape. Feeling your spine. How does your spine feel? Sometimes when I sit here and I sense into my spine, I kind of feel like a tree a little bit, just very subtly rocking in the wind. And I'm going to read a poem by Joy Harjo to start called Fire. We cannot survive by our own breath alone. We must know the voices of mountains. We must recognize the foreverness of blue sky. We must flow with the elusive bodies of night winds who will take us into herself. Look at me. I am not a separate human being. I am a continuance of blue sky. I am the throat of the mountains, a night wind who burns with every breath she takes. As you're sitting here, allowing those words to settle, maybe feeling your skin. And I know that we're told that the skin is a boundary. But what if it's a receiver? What if it can be a receiver, receiving experience? I know I can feel some of the air from outside on my hands. Just noticing anything you feel on your skin. Really great way to get in contact in the with the body is to start with a bone tapping. So we're going to go ahead and do that. I invite you to bring your right hand to the left side of your chest. Just start tapping there. Just waking up the bones. This is where our heart rests. And the sound of the heart is an ah, so I invite us all to make an ah. You can keep making that sound as feels comfortable for you. Ah. And I invite you to start going down your left arm, top of the arm, down to the palm of your hand, at the other side of your hand, up to your shoulder, and then back to your chest, saying, ah. And again, we'll go down the inseam of the arm to the elbow crease, palm of the hand, top of the hand, up the arm, to the shoulder, back of the shoulder. This can be a place of tension for many. And then back to the chest. And then we'll go down the inseam of the arm once more, elbow crease, palm of hand, top of hand, up the arm, back of the shoulder, back to the chest, making that Now let's go ahead and switch hands. So we'll move with our to the right side of our chest with our left hand. Go this side. And then we can start going down that right arm, the inseam of that right arm to the right elbow crease. Top of our palm of the hand, turning that hand over, going up the arm to the shoulder, breathing into any tension there, and then coming to the right side of the chest. And we'll go down the inseam of that right arm to the elbow crease, to the palm of the hand, top of the hand, back up the arm, up to our shoulder, breathing into any tension in your shoulder here, and to the chest. And then we'll once more go down the inseam of that arm, elbow crease, palm of hand, back of hand, up the arm, to the shoulder. And then to the chest, and with both hands, let's go on the chest. One more breath, one more. Let's pause. So bringing our hands to our thighs. Feeling whatever you're feeling. Maybe you feel some tingly or pulsation, some vibration after that tapping, awakening the body. Maybe some of you notice some deeper breaths coming in, sighs or yawns. It's a sign of the nervous system relaxing and releasing. And then from here, we're just going to shift our shoulders over towards the right a little bit, and then over towards the left, over towards the right, over towards the left. Let's just rock back and forth like this. Tree waving in the wind. Just rocking the spine, rocking the shoulders. Maybe one side feels a little bit more differently from the other as you rock from right to left. Maybe one side's a little bit more tight than the other. How is your body now? What's happening now in your body? And then from there, let's come back to center, releasing that movement. We're going to go ahead and shift our right shoulder forward and around. So we're going to kind of start to do like a figure eight with our shoulders. So then the left shoulder shifts forward and around. Right shoulder shifts forward and around. Let's do this figure eight here. Really waking up the thoracic spine area between the shoulder blades. This is really wonderful. If you're at a desk or on your phone a lot of us have so much tension here, so much stress here in the body. Maybe you feel that is one side a little bit more sticky than the other as we do this. I know my right side's a little bit more sticky than the left. Just noticing how that feels. Maybe you're wondering, why am I doing this? And that's okay too. Maybe you're like, oh, this feels nice. Allow your experience to be here. Maybe you'll get a little adjustment in your spine as you do this. I just got a little one. Beautiful. And then from there, we'll come back to center, releasing that. And again, just coming to stillness for a moment, pausing, sensing, and feeling what's happening now. The pause is just as important, and even maybe even more important than the movement. It's how we really digest the experience, this pause. And then from here, we're going to move into a primal response. So I'm going to invite us all to curl our spine in. So we're curling our head to our chest, tucking our tailbone, curling in. And then we're going to move out of that, moving from our lower spine, moving into an arch. So like a wave arching up out of our spine, chin reaches up towards the heavens. And then curling from our tailbone, thoracic spine, cervical spine, chin tucking. And then moving from the lower spine, arching. And then curling. I invite us all to move at our own rhythm here in this arch and then this curl. If you've ever looked at a roly-poly, this is a movement a roly-poly or a caterpillar will do. It will curl in a fright response. take care of itself if it's feeling threatened. And it will expand and open, arch itself back straight as it's feeling safe and connected. This is really what we do as humans as well. As we move through life and interact with each other, sometimes we need to curl in, tend to ourselves, contract inwards. Sometimes we need to expand and arch and connect outwards. Can you feel into your body here? How is your spine? Are there some parts of the spine that feel a little, there's not a lot of sensation there? Maybe can you bring your awareness up to that part of the spine? Beautiful. And after that last one, we'll release that movement. Again, pausing for 20 seconds, sensing and feeling. What does your body feel like now? Does it feel differently from when we began? And from here, let's go ahead and bring our arms into Russian dancer. So we're holding onto our elbows, arms in front of our chest. We go ahead and move our arms over towards the right and then move our head towards the left, like we're trying to look over our left shoulder. And take a moment to breathe here, taking a deep breath into your body. And then releasing that, going over to the other side, elbows left, head right. Breathing into the body here. Does this side feel more different than the other? And then let's go back over, elbows right and left. Breathing in, breathing out. And elbows left, head right. And I invite us now to go at our own rhythm, back and forward, back and forth. So shifting our arms one way, head the other. Maybe you just want to stay and breathe into some tension, or maybe you want to move a little bit more quickly. Beautiful. And then dropping that one again, sensing and feeling 20 seconds. What's happening now? And this practice of somatic movement, it's always legal to linger, as my teacher likes to say. It's really being with your felt sense. From here, let's go ahead and bring our right hand, maybe our right forearm down to the floor, and then reach our left arm up overhead. Breathing into that lengthening in the left side body. Noticing any deeper breaths or sighs or yawns that come in. And then coming back up, let's go to the other side. We'll put our left hand, left forearm down. Reach up with that right arm overhead. Lengthening in that right side bone. Really aiming your breath, maybe from right fingertips all the way down to your right hip. Beautiful. Let's go over to the other side again. Right hand down, left arm overhead. Aiming, feeling, and filling your breath onto that entire left side from left fingertips to left hip. Does this side feel different from the other side? Maybe one side's a little bit more tight. And then let's go over to the other side again. Left hand down, right arm overhead. Coming back up to center, releasing the hands down. 20 seconds once more, sensing and feeling. What is your felt sense experience in this moment? And from here, let's go ahead and bring our hands out in front of us and palms together. We go ahead and slide our right hand forward beyond our left, feeling our right scapula move away from our spine. And then slide that right arm back and left hand forward. Just feeling our scapula move. Coming back and reaching the right hand forward. Reaching that right arm back and reaching the left hand forward. Just going back and forth like that. You feel a difference between your scapula, shoulder blades. Maybe there's some tension. And then releasing your arms down. And just sit for a moment and take in that experience. How was that for you? Sometimes these slower movements can bring up agitation if we're used to moving or going more quickly or exercising more vigorously. Maybe that's your experience, or maybe you're feeling really relaxed and soft. Coming back to your spine. Maybe you have a little bit more intimacy with your spine now. And I'll close us with the poem we began with, Fire by Joy Harjo. We cannot survive by our own breath alone. We must know the voices of mountains. We must recognize the foreverness of blue sky. We must flow with the elusive bodies of night winds who will take us into herself. Look at me, I am not a separate human being. I am a continuance of blue sky. I am the throat of the mountains, a night wind who burns with every breath she takes. And as you're ready, just open the eyes. We have a little bit more time. If anyone has any questions, You got anything Chuck talked about, or any questions about movement practice or about meditation in general?
What you noticed that you hadn't noticed before.
I'm a lot of stress. I'm
Mm-hmm.
carrying a lot of stress. I haven't noticed that.
I feel my body really work hard and I didn't realize, so I kind of feel grateful. I've realized as we're doing all those body movements, I'm unconsciously breathing harder to enhance that feeling. I don't know, and I'm not sure if that is something we should try to avoid, but I realized that.
I've been curious investigation. I would invite that.
Curious investigation.
Just noticing when the body, when you're breathing harder, how would you put it again? You notice that you're breathing harder to experience it more. Just notice that, and then see what happens if you don't breathe so hard to experience it more. And play with it. I think it's important to remember about practice, meditation practice. There is no necessarily right or wrong way. If something is showing up, it's showing up. That's all. It's causes and conditions. That's it. And so it's an op, you know, and so when we chant out here, one of the lines is Dharma gates are boundless. I vow to enter them. And so something shows up, it's a Dharma gate. It's an invitation in to turn in and to investigate. And it's not necessarily to an analytical, hard investigation that you have to solve. It's more like, oh, now you're really in the flux of causes and conditions, the interplay of stuff. You're right there. You're right there, and it is and it is not. It's where the Buddha was inviting, is just to be awake in the flux of causes and conditions. That was the invitation.
I'm curious to hear what other people experienced. If you want to share, how was that quiet movement for you? What came up?
I'm curious about the semantics because what I felt was I can feel a lot of tension in my neck. So is somatics awareness of your body, or is it like a yoga where you need to practice?
So soma is a Greek word that means body. So somatic is body awareness, and somatic movement is a body awareness practice. So it changes with time. So maybe you experience something now, but if you keep doing this practice, keep doing this movement, it gets into deeper layers. More comes to the surface. Sometimes emotions come to the surface. You know, often, sometimes, not, I mean, sometimes the tension we have in our bodies can be emotion that we're just not digesting yet. And so it's staying there as a pain. Sometimes it's also just a pain, though, also. So, but that's something that you can explore with somatic movement is this pain or what else might be here? And getting into the layers of that. The layers of your experience. I know when I first started practicing, I was like, whoa, I have a lot of tension. I was like, wow, this part's like just real grippy. And since practicing, it's really changed. It's really opened things up a lot. I still have that grippiness. I still have tension on my right side. But there's a lot more space within it. Before I felt like when I did my first class, like I felt like I could almost barely move this arm. I mean, I could move it, but that was the feeling, like my fascia, the musculature was just so dense. And doing these subtle movements, things started opening up. And now I feel like, yeah, there's just more space. And for me, I have a pretty profound trauma history from childhood. So my body has definitely kept the score. And doing this somatic movement, I've had stories come out of my body that I had no idea was there. And with time and practice and just getting to know myself more, my intimate body self more, things have been coming out. Not that will be your experience, that has been my experience, and it can be others' experience. Yeah, this practice is really good from unwinding things out of the nervous system, unwinding emotions, and more so just really relaxing, getting us into that right brain, that place of ease and just like okayness.
I have a question. Was that permissible?
Sure.
Okay.
I'm scared. No.
So when the more of this work you've done, how does it inform your so-called sitting practice, your meditation practice?
Yeah, wow, in a big way. When I first started practicing, I sat really rigidly. I started in the Goenka tradition where you sit for like 12 hours for 1 hour stretches all day long with very little breaks and get up really early and go to bed really late. And there was something about that I really liked until I started doing somatic movement. And then I realized how much I was pushing myself, how much I was like really like forcing something, trying to make something happen in my meditation or thinking I was doing it right. I'm still not doing it right.
Right or wrong.
Yes. And yeah, now it's really created a softness in my practice. Really, it's open. I just keep going to this opening body. It's opened my heart. It's opened my body to be soft, and now I only go on meditation retreats that have movement because I've noticed how important it is. And I've really become more intimate with my felt sense experience, like what's happening in my body. We do this when we sit too, of course, we're sitting with our body and our mind and seeing this. But something, the blend of these two practices is so beautiful. It's such a beautiful symbiotic relationship. It really just allows things to unfold with more ease than I would find just sitting on the cushion. So, I mean, I will say I still go on retreats where there's not movement, but I do movement in my room. Maybe have time for one more question or comment if anyone has anything that's.
Interesting what you said at the end, because for me, the pauses in between the movements were the important part.
Yes.
And to your point, how it is for me different to meditation is when I meditate, I never had these feelings that I get in these pauses in between.
Interesting. Yeah, as I was saying during that movement practice, the pauses are so important because it's really that's where we get to settle, right? And I think that's why I love teaching these workshops that Chuck and I just did is we do a movement practice and then we move right into Zazen. So doing an hour of that floor movement and then sitting, it's just, ooh, it's so calm, right? There's like a sense of settling and peace.
Thank you for listening to this podcast offered by Jokoji Zen Center. Our Dharma talks are offered free of charge, and this is made possible by the donations we receive. Your support helps us to continue to offer the Dharma. For more information about Jikoji, please visit us on the web at jikoji.org.